Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
The Haunted San Fernando Valley. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
In the San Fernando Valley, there is a house consumed by evil. Nestled in the Reseda neighborhood of L.A., there's voices, apparitions, and possessions. This house was made famous by Ghost Adventures, Season 13, Episode 4, from October 15th, 2016, Reseda House of Evil, and it seems to be a fan favorite. Before we go there, very quickly, we did some updates to our Patreon that you might be interested in.
You might be.
Patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Check that out.
Ooh, they're good. I'll say it. I'll be brave enough to say that I think our Patreon looks good.
Will you be brave enough to go up to Reseda? Not because of traffic.
No, you're the one who's afraid of Reseda. You're the one who has weird... Oh, no, that wasn't Reseda. That was Altadena.
Yeah, Altadena. I had issues with Altadena.
Yeah, you had big issues with Altadena. Reseda, we're good with.
So how I found this subject, I did not know Ghost Adventures made it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody posted on my Facebook, somebody who is loves L.A. and the Valley and its history. Mm-hmm. So they posted about this house in Reseda that was haunted. And I was like, well, listen, we love
right
L.A.
Right on your Facebook page. You can't ignore that.
Can't ignore that. Gotta do look it up. Uh-huh. Also, my in-laws are from that area.
Native Residians.
Northridge, Reseda, that whole area. Mm-hmm. So I was like, perfect. This is like a lot. It checks a lot of boxes for me. And then in doing the research, it's really Ghost Adventures that made it what it is. And that's fine, and that's great. And
that's great. I mean, an October 15th episode of something. It's the Halloween wind-up. They're getting ready. They're getting momentum. As we know, Halloween is really the time of... October is the time for podcasts like
to really cash in.
Yeah, to really get in there. But, you know, Ghost Adventures especially, I think. So it's a big deal. It's a heavy hitter is what I'm saying. Big app.
And it seemed to be one that people really liked the episode. I was like, great, perfect. So there's not a ton of information to be found outside of what they've already covered. And I was like, well, what can we bring to the table?
Yeah.
What's something new beside our opinion, beside our point of view? And we have a...
Oh, yeah. Ace in the pocket.
Yeah. I don't know if it's ace in the hole.
Maybe it's ace in the hole. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. But we have that.
Yes.
And that ace in the pocket or hole is our friend Patty Negri.
Yeah.
Who is on that episode. And she's on many episodes.
Absolutely.
She's part of the crew. You know, in her, you know, kind of bringing a medium, good clairvoyant, psychic, that whole thing to it. And we love her. She's
great. Oh my gosh, she's great. Her book is wonderfully magical. Like, she was a blast to talk to on her podcast, Witching Hour.
Yeah, we were on her podcast, Witching Hour. And I think her website's pattynegri.com.
Yeah, but she's awesome.
After the break, we're going to play audio that is exclusive to Ghost Town, I suppose. I mean, I'm going to say
Ghost Town exclusive.
And you may not know this, but every episode we do, we try to reach out to people
or
try to find something new. They just don't respond.
They don't like us. They like to ignore us.
Yeah, so,
but we're not, you know, we're not giving up anytime soon.
So yes, you know, we are kind of reformatting information that's already out there. And if you've heard it before, if you haven't, we're bringing it to you for better or for worse.
Yeah, our research is not new, but we try to bring something new to it.
Every single episode, maybe there might be some from like 1884 or the 1300s, you know, we don't do a lot of that, but but things that are relatively current.
Yes.
We
updates.
We try to do that. In fact, Tom Reed from the Berkshire UFO episode emailed me again, and I put some of the information, polygraph results, ooh, some YouTube videos. He sent that to me, and I put it on our Ghost Town Facebook, which is just Ghost Town Pod, in mm-hmm. the community mm-hmm. within there. That's open. Join it. Stuff going on our Facebook, yeah. really. But I've been putting what Tom has been sending me to share to get it out there for people that might be interested. And I appreciate Tom doing that.
Thank you.
And I'm sure he's like, yeah, I want to, you know, also get the word out there beyond what Unsolved Mysteries has done.
For so sure.
There was no intention on doing a show recap of Ghost Adventures. And I'll be honest with you, I've never watched an episode. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with the show itself, a little bit of the format and the hosts, and of course, yes. you know, Patty being involved, but I've never watched an episode. So for me, it was a new experience mm-hmm. on a few different levels, the format of the show mm-hmm. and the subject matter.
Yeah.
And Los Angeles and making, kind of putting all those things together in my mind.
Yeah. All I think, I've watched a smattering of ghost shows, but I'm also like not super familiar. I think, as much as I love ghost stuff, like that sector is not super familiar to me, but also very scary. Like I think my closest is Paranormal Witness, and that stuff, like I love all the things we cover, but ghost stuff, especially seeing it, can get very scary for someone like me alone.
Well, this episode is going to hit the spot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say it is. It's a little bit racy aspects. It's a tragic on a lot of aspects, but it's very interesting. And they do a great job. I mean, the entertainment value is absolutely there. The, you know, the enthusiasm and information is there.
And the ghosts.
And the ghosts.
Ghosts.
Are there.
Oh boy.
I guess, I mean, it depends on what you think is there or not. You know mm-hmm. me, I'm a huge skeptic, but they did a really good job making me, you know, take that skeptic hat off for a second, which I always do. I love just it.
Chipping away at your belief system.
I don't want people mm-hmm. to stop believing. I don't want them to stop sharing. I don't, that doesn't help me or make me feel better in any way. Mm-mm. I just need to come at it with a slight bit of skepticism, but you know, my heart is open.
Jason's heart is open.
My mind is closed.
His mind is
it's done.
Shut.
Heart wide open.
Yeah, heart is like out there bleeding out.
I'm gonna read the description from Ghost Adventures. So I don't know if I'm saying Ghost Adventures or Ghost Adventurers.
We apologize.
Both mean both.
Yeah, adventures with adventurers.
Yeah. I don't know if adventurer is a word, but adventurers. At the end, I don't know. So here's their description, just to give you the show's version of what is going to happen, which is what's going to happen.
All right.
Ghost Adventures, Reseda House of Evil. There is a home so evil in Reseda, California that affects all who dare to enter it. Inhabitants are becoming drug addicts, mm-mm. and many have committed suicide. Zach Baggins and the crew struggle to keep their sanity when this dangerous investigation quickly turns into an emotional nightmare.
Hey.
And it is very tense to watch because regardless of what you think, when you're there in the dark with just infrared,
yeah,
that's terrible. I mean, I wouldn't be any different.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be any braver or cavalier about it. In any means, no matter what you think it mm-hmm. is. And you have, you know, they're in somewhat close quarters. They have their equipment and mm-hmm. the different personalities kind of mixing together. So it's a real pressure cooker
yeah.
of haunts.
Ooh.
A couple of facts. I just went in, you know, took some notes on what's going on. I suggest definitely watch the episode. Someone has died in every single room of the house.
Every room. We got bathrooms, we got living rooms, we got bedrooms, hallways, staircases, basement, attic, garage, second garage, rec room,
indoor
fitness
pool, outdoor
center,
pool,
center, exactly.
Trampoline.
Terraria, or what's the area that you grow plants in? Greenhouse.
Yes. Petting zoo.
Good, good, good. Private cinema, second private cinema.
Bowling alley.
Exactly. Rodent. Rodent
free farm.
Exactly.
The rodent freak farm,
the hot air balloon nestling center. Every room. That's insane.
No, the hot air balloon has been cleared. I'm trying to understand. This is where I was trying to find out kind of the origin of the house. And we'll get that from Patty after the break, which I was very thankful for. She answered a couple of questions that I had. And the house, I've driven past it a zillion times. That's what makes it so interesting to me. So I was like, I know where this is. I've driven past this so many times.
You said no to drugs so many times.
Yeah, I mean, people didn't even ask me.
They're like, okay, who are you?
I was so uncool. Like, I never even got offered crack. When everyone was like, yeah, I got offered crack. You ever hear crack offered? I was like, yeah, me too. Like, no, you liar. I was bad for, like, the crack PR.
Wow.
Yeah, I was not good for it. They didn't want this face
why would they?
With a highly addictive drug. But it seems like it's a place where people that had perhaps, and I'm speculating, similar backgrounds, like a lot of different roommates. And, you know, the Valley's very suburban. I often ask my wife, Michelle, who grew up there, like, you know, what's the deal? What's the vibe in the different areas? And, you know, it is a suburb, and it was, you know, obviously very popular in the 50s and 60s, the Valley and Encino would kind of grow. And it's very new, especially compared to downtown Los Angeles, say. And of course, there's drugs everywhere. And I wasn't sure if it's a place where people that were already had issues with drugs lived and it got worse there because of the ghost, or they also made it seem like the ghost kind of perpetuated it. Hard to say about people's mental states. And it's, you know, the few people they interviewed obviously were very troubled by what was happening or allegedly happening. And also, you know, within their own lives, very tough. And you first meet Devin Klein, and he talks about the house's, I think, owner, or I don't know, original owner, but owner, John Dominic. And John Dominic was a drug dealer. And the belief is that his drug dealing, the negativity of that, which is, you know, all negative. We're talking heroin.
Yeah.
You know, talking cannabis.
We're not talking sugar and coffee.
No. But they are a drug.
That's right.
And illegal.
They're illegal. You can buy some from me at a high markup.
Yeah, you don't want to do a speedball of ibuprofen and Diet Coke. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's dangerous. Glory days. Ugh.
But it seems like he is kind of where it kind of was born from, and he also died in that house. So this guy, John Dominic, I looked up John Dominic. I wanted to see what's up with John Dominic. Couldn't find anything that necessarily was this John Dominic.
When you're talking about
drugs and Los Angeles and a name John, I mean,
you're like, good luck, sir.
But I did look, and I'm sure there might be more information out there. And then we find out that the property kind of feeds on the drug addiction and the people there, and it kind of somewhat of a circular thing. And it's tough to hear this guy, Devin, talk. I mean, it's tough. You know, I got to imagine he's probably been through a lot and is going through a lot, and it's just kind of the retelling of and bringing these things up. It can't be easy for him, and I really kind of felt for him. And then you meet Malia, and the thing about Malia is what they talk about, and they eventually talk to him, is it was believed that he was paranoid schizophrenic. That still may very well be true. But a friend of Devin's, this other woman, was kind of looking at him. She's like, he's not paranoid schizophrenic. Like, he's possessed. Because there was an incident where I guess he ran out of the house in his underwear down the street. In an episode, she said that I guess she spent some time with him, and she's like, you know, he changes. And Devin's like, yeah, I know. He's, you know, he's fine once and then bad, you know, not doing great the next moment. She's like, no. His body and face physically change structurally. That's what I was getting from this.
Yikes.
In a way, I don't know if you've seen the movie Split.
No.
It's in the M. Night Shyamalan world where it's this guy who's got a bunch of different personalities living in him. Mm-hmm. It's a little, a bit of a spoiler, but you probably get it from the original. But there is part where it's consumed him so much that it actually, one of the characters actually physically changes his face and body. That your mind is so powerful, it could think that you were this and your body will change to that. Eesh. And that's what's being insinuated
that
here.
That mind is too powerful then, I say. I don't like that.
And so we kind of talk to him and they interview him and they ask him, how often are you feel possessed or visited by ghosts? And he's like, every day. Mm. And the guy Devin, you know, there's scenes where they're in the room and he's like, they're here. They're in here right now near me. And they have these meters and e-meters. And I don't know, you know, that's not my specialty, reading cold mm-hmm. spots and hot spots and
yeah.
ground energy. So I believe the impetus for him to run out of the house, and I believe he was in his underwear, but he ran down the street in his underwear. I'm just looking at my notes. He said one of the demons told him that it was a dangerous place and to leave, kind of warning him, like, you, nothing good can happen for you here. So in a sense, it was helpful.
A helpful and demon.
Speaking of helpful.
Huh.
The ghost sex.
I'm listening. I wasn't listening before, but now I'm listening. Just kidding. I'm always listening.
There has been a lot of negativity with the ghosts and the inhabitants being like pushed and pulled.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't talked about it yet, but I've had incidents of that very recently. We've talked about
it, but we haven't
officially.
Horrifying.
Yeah, and that'll be an official.
That's going to be a little nugget you're going to wait for.
But there's also some touching and whatever you want to call it, heavy petting,
inappropriate ghost touching,
but not in a harmful way.
No, in a fun, sexy way.
I guess in a incubus succubus way.
Oh,
and I guess that's not necessarily. But I'm not, you know, an expert in this, but that's not necessarily bad. So they have been touched.
Touched by ghosts.
By ghosts.
Ghosts can be a little, like, you know, not.
They want it.
It's like consent ghosts? I don't think so. I specifically think of, we did something on the Adams Mansion in Park Slope, New York. And I think there was another ghost when I was doing tours around there that would touch people's butts as they were walking down the street, like very close to that place. So ghosts can get handsy and it's not appreciated.
And there's,
or it's sexy. I don't know. It's up to you.
There's situations where people, you know, claim to have sex with ghosts.
I got that article sent to me maybe 6 times about the woman who claimed to have sex with a ghost and then marry it. Pirate ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, stop it. And I was single at the time too. And I was like, what are you trying to say? Kind of a thing. And yeah, that was a real like life check for me personally. But I think it that happened what, last year?
Yeah, it was pretty recent.
Mm-hmm.
Now our friend
Patty
on the show, she's like, she had a lot of trouble trying to clear this, and she, you know, she normally I guess, you know, does pretty well with that, and she's like, it's a tough nut to crack as far
project.
But we will hear from Patty and some additional information that you might not necessarily get from the show. You won't get from the show and it's somewhat exclusive to Ghost Town, at least in this context.
This episode's all about exclusivity and ghost sex.
But what's not exclusive is this break. Have you tried Green Chef yet? It's a USDA certified organic company that makes eating well, easy and affordable, with plans to fit every kind of lifestyle. Here's how it works. Green Chef lets you choose from a wide array of easy to follow lifestyles with select organic ingredients.
Meal plans include paleo, plant-powered, keto, and balanced living. Ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped. Everything gets hand-picked and delivered right to your door. When it's at my place, the recipes are quick and easy with step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and photos to guide you along, photos and recipes even I can follow.
It's true. Green Chef makes cooking easy with dinner options that work around your lifestyle, not the other way around. Green Chef pretty much does everything, meal planning, grocery shopping, most of the prep for you week after week. Recipes include pre-made measured sauces, dressings, and spices, so you don't have to buy too much and you use everything. Simple.
I'm not a fan of waste, so when I get my Green Chef box, I love the detailed instructions on how to recycle every piece of plastic. That's because Green Chef is the most sustainable meal kit, offsetting 100% of its direct carbon emissions and plastic packaging in every box. I also love the things like vinegar and rosemary that come in these teeny tiny little bottles. Very adorable, like when I order vodka on an airplane, but healthier.
I got the plant-powered meals and the cauliflower and kale salad. So good.
Yum.
And Green Chef offers contactless delivery to your doorstep for easy home cooking. It is all so easy.
Also, Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh to offer a wider array of meal plans to choose from. We tried both in the past month and both did not disappoint. Now y'all can enjoy both brands at a discount. Just use code GHOSTTOWN80 to get $80 off your first month plus free shipping on your first box. Go to greenchef.com/ghosttown80 to redeem and for more details.
That's right. Use GHOSTTOWN80 to get $80 off your first month plus free shipping on your first box. Go to greenchef.com/ghosttown80 to redeem and for more details.
Are you a true crime junkie? Do you like spooky murder stories? Or are you a weirdo that's into real life mysteries? Let's be real. Odds are, if you're listening to us right now, you're at least one and probably all. And if you're like us, you'll very much dig Sword and Scale.
Sword and Scale is the longest standing true crime podcast that combines 911 calls and interrogation audio to tell you real life stories that will chill you to the bone.
Real talk, I was recommended Sword and Scale back in 2016 before we even started Ghost Town. I was forever a fan. After I subscribed to Sword and Scale, I never went back. It practically invented a podcast genre back in 2014, years before other true crime podcasts became popular.
Sword and Scale's host and creator Mike Boudet expertly narrates each shocking episode to fully immerse listeners into a carefully crafted real-life story that proves that the worst monsters are real. Some of my favorite episodes are episode 121, where Neil Entwistle and his family mysteriously disappeared, and episode 107, The Case of Kevin Ray Underwood. I won't spoil them for you. Just give Sword and Scale a listen for yourself.
Sword and Scale is available bi-weekly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe today and leave them a review. That's Sword and Scale, also available at swordandscale.com. Subscribe today and give it a listen. Sword and Scale, proving that the worst monsters are real.
Hello.
Hi.
We're back. How are you? This is the check-in.
Checking in on your mental health.
How's everything? How are you feeling? How are you doing? We're saying this also to ourselves.
Yes. Repeating it to ourselves over and over. Are we good? Are we not good?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We don't know. What's the litmus test for good or not good? We don't know. But we're here.
We are
to
here.
Chat if you ever want to talk, whether it's you have something you want to suggest, something you want to follow up with.
Yeah.
We are also looking to start maybe like a Discord group.
Yeah.
Looking into that.
That could be cool.
It's a little above my pay grade as far as how it works. I mean, I'm only 78.
He's only 78.
So I got the body of a 90-year-old and a mind of a 6-year-old. So it's really great. And we want to say hello. We're going to get political. Mm-hmm. Say hello to the mayors.
That's right. Ghost Town Politics.
Brandon Gaddis.
Chris Witt.
Jeanette Link,
mm-hmm.
and Ben Forsyth.
That's right.
And they have all gotten shipped a Ghost Town t-shirt from our new Ghost Town merch store.
We have a merch store.
And we're going to be putting more items in there. Right now there's two designs, and you can find it at ghosttownpod.com/store, or you can find it on our Instagram. There's a link in there.
Please.
And as part of the Patreon, you've added it to our Patreon, and we've added some new things to the Patreon.
This Patreon
new tiers
is looking good.
Yes, more perks.
This Patreon drinks a lot of water, sleeps a good night's sleep.
What's a good night to you?
7 hours of sleep. Is that
pretty good?
No,
I think it's very good.
Exactly.
I thought you were going to say, like, if I don't get my good 12.
And then I hate people like that. Yeah. Just like 10 hours? What do you do?
Yeah.
Stop it.
And there's two new tiers up there with new stuff. That gets a little political. So check that out, patreon.com/ghosttownpod. It helps to support the show. And it helps us. We have some new equipment we're using right now. Very exciting.
I will never learn how to use it, but it looks great. The color red of this equipment is very amenable to me.
So we're always trying to improve everything. So store is up. Mm-hmm. The website is up. It's everything is Ghost Town Pod. Our Facebook is bumping.
Yeah.
There's a community in there. Come hang out. And we'd love to hear your suggestions. And
it makes our jobs easier when you give us suggestions and things.
And our YouTube channel, which is Ghost Town Podcast. TikTok is Ghost Town Pod. And putting some stuff on there. So there's a lot of output. And please follow it if you can. Check it out. And we've got some kind. We had somebody who thought we were a different podcast.
Oh, perfect.
And, you know, had a very valid, you know, she had a valid.
I don't think I got that when you sent that to me.
Yeah, you didn't get the first part.
Yeah.
You didn't get the first part. And it's our now new friend, Molly. And she had a legitimate gripe. And I was like, I really thought back and I was like, that doesn't sound like us. We do a lot of episodes. I think this is. We work to be very respectful and not really toe the line.
Jason really internalizes all of the criticism very harshly. So when you think we're a different podcast, he goes a little crazy.
But I, you know, explained ourselves like, I'm sorry you felt that way. I was like, can you, you know, cite the thing?
So yeah.
We could, and it, listen, if we're wrong or if it's something we need to kind of reflect on, happy to do that. We're not here to hurt or harm anybody. It's like the absolute last thing we want to do. When I would hate to think that that would happen. And anytime anyone's reached out, I think we've been pretty good about. We can't like not change every single thing everyone
wants. Yeah, but we're very receptive. And I think
absolutely
we don't want people to be pissed off and at we're us lonely or upset and, or dissatisfied. And we're lonely.
And so we're ready to
we don't know what
communicate
we're doing
with anybody.
Exactly.
So she thought we were a different podcast. I'm not going to name that podcast just because, you know,
Ghost City.
It's Joe Rogan's podcast.
Yeah, that's right. The Joe Rogan Experience.
But that's a free plug for Joe. So
You're welcome, Joe Rogan.
But she was, you know, really sorry. And I was like, totally cool. She subscribes to a lot of podcasts. I get it. But she promised, she's like, I'm going to leave you a nice rate and review. And she did, and she followed up.
She
and
it followed says, up.
Well done, interesting, succinct. From Whiskey Possum, these podcasts are the perfect length, well-researched, and very interesting. I subscribe to 60-plus spooky podcasts.
Whoa!
Do you hear that? Some bats?
What was that? Chattering bats? Whee!
And Ghost Town is one of the only ones doing unique, spooky topics. I think we are...
We get the
variety.
Around.
The variety is definitely unique.
Mm-hmm.
You won't get the same old with Ghost Town. Highly recommended. So thank you. Those always help because we get ones
that
are not so great.
And this is a woman. This is a podcast connoisseur.
Yeah.
60 plus.
Well, you know.
How many podcasts do you subscribe to?
I think at any given time, 8.
8? I think I'm maybe like 15, 20. Yeah. 60 plus.
You know you can subscribe to Ghost Town too, right?
Me? Never. What is that? Ugh.
You can add Stray Gear to that too? You can throw those to it now?
What are we even talking about here?
Yeah.
Where am I?
Well, we're going to be in the world of Patty Negri and her show The Witching Hour. We're thankful for her having us on that, but she is going to give us some backstory.
A little rundown.
Exclusivity on this episode that she is in, and we're going to play it right now.
Reseda House of Evil. Well, it indeed is a house of evil that had some very nice guys living in it, but troubled. I actually am the one who sent Zach Bagans and the Ghost Adventures crew to the house because I had been working with the guys for a couple years just trying to make it livable for them, trying to keep it clean. It was the very first place that I ever went to that I couldn't keep clear. I would go in and clear it, and you'd see the negativity, you'd see the ooze, you'd literally see dark spirits, and you'd get them cleaned out. And then they'd come right back. And I do think it's a combination, of course, of the suicides and the overdoses and the extensive in drug addiction and drug use in the house, but it's also part of the land. I know the Ghost Adventures crew looked into being native land and stuff, and that is insanely charged. We would see like lumps and things coming up in the ground. There's one tree in the corner that it literally has a life of its own beyond the regular normal tree thing. So the boys actually lost the house. It was stolen from them pretty much. You know, hang out with a bad crowd, you have bad people. I told them that's what saved their lives, but they actually are trying to get it back right now. I think there's going to be some lawsuits. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think they should get back in the house because I still think it should be actually torn down. And there was actually, this is not known by anyone, there was another death after Ghost Adventures crew was there. And it was somebody very famous's daughter. I met her. I actually, when I would go try to help the guys, how to clear the house, try to show them how to clear it themselves, she would be there and we would speak. She was a gifted young woman, but again, very troubled and did have an addiction problem. And she OD'd right there in the house soon after we filmed the episode of Ghost Adventures. So it indeed is a house of evil.
Huh, wow. Pretty interesting.
Don't you want to know who that daughter is?
And not to be invasive, but I couldn't help it. And I did not ask her. Don't ask me.
She already gave it. That's a juicy clip.
And, you know, the fact is she brought this, she brought this episode to life. She brought the Ghost Adventures to this house. I guess she, you know, she was, according to her, was working with the, you know, the people and knew them and she's sympathetic and she wanted to help any way she could. I can't really expand on that because I don't really know. But when she did say that somebody, you know, died there, I mean, listen, in you know, a celebrity or celebrity child tragedy in the Valley is not new.
Yeah, exactly. I think I didn't get a chance to Google it, but I'm sure if it's like, oh, celebrity daughter, OD Valley, a lot of results would come up, and unfortunately.
I have not asked Michelle. But she grew up there.
Michelle probably has a story about this.
She has, when it comes to like some kind of celebrity, I mean, she's still like hanging out at Tom Hanks' house.
I know. She has every story about every celebrity.
She's, you know, grew up and went to high school with a lot of people that you probably know and have won Oscars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Very interesting. But if I put it together, she might know. She could probably narrow it down, especially if she knows like the 5-year time span.
Yeah, get Michelle on this.
I might ask her, but I don't, again, like I didn't want to ask Patty because I didn't want to, one, put her in position.
Yeah.
It's none of my business to at least ask
her. Well, if she wanted to tell us, she would have told us in that clip, right?
And it's not, is it important to the episode? No, but it's interesting to the place where the episode took place. And that's really where our, you know, an initial interest lies.
For sure.
So that was a little something. So you're not just getting me regurgitating the episode.
I mean, yes.
Now, Zach says something very interesting when he's talking to Patty in this episode. Mm-hmm. He says, you can't make a deal with the devil. If the devil is here, there is no deal to be made. And I was like, I don't know what you mean, but that sounds very cool, dude.
Yeah. Like, that sounds, honestly, just put devil in any quote and I'm like, I'm turned on.
It's extremely cool. Ugh. So the cam operator just bolts at one point because, you know, he's got, you know, audio running and everyone's mic'd up. And Devin is in some corner of the house and he is praying and he's having a, I don't know what you want to call it. Oof, he's having a moment.
Episode.
And it's really, it's just got to be really tough for him. And
yeah.
You know, he's dealing with it in the way that he's dealing with it. And there's absolutely no judgment on that. How could you possibly?
Yeah.
Not there. And also, it's like, I probably wouldn't handle anything any better, to be totally honest with you. And, when you're adding substance abuse and the emotional baggage that comes with that or may not come with that, some people might just like, I just like driving. It's cool. I love drugs. Or it's like, I have problems and I deal with it with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no judgment here. It's tough. Life's hard.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's got their demons.
Yes.
In, you know, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Maybe they're both the same.
And this is
thing.
Where they converge. Yeah.
So Zach talks to a historian. I believe his name is Dr. Fate.
Of course it is.
I didn't even want
Dr. Fate.
I did not even want to double check it because I didn't want it to be something else.
Don't tempt Dr. Fate.
I am just going with Dr. Fate. And he has a book, I guess, called The Ghost of San Fernando Valley. So he's done his homework.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an older gentleman, so he's been around.
What do you think his first name is? Todd? Kevin, yeah. Blake Fate.
So the mention of Indian burial grounds come up.
Okay.
And the 1994 Northridge earthquake, which we've done an episode on.
We talked about that.
We talked about it in our live show because yeah. my wife, Michelle, was in it.
She lived it.
She lived it. And if she didn't go sleep over her friends that night, because you don't know the Northridge earthquake is coming, she'd be a goner. I wonder if there's any people out there that you could have been destined to meet, but like some tragedy.
Something happened.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this with my friend Ed the other night. He has a very good friend who introduced him to comedy, and she had a writing day on Sundays. She would spend the whole day Sunday writing, and that Sunday at her apartment, and she lived in West Hollywood, I think, at the time. She was thinking about doing something else, whatever. Her friend, and she was like, no, I have to write. I have to write. I have to sit here and write. Her friend was like, let's go sunbathe on your roof. Let's go hang out. And she was like, I don't want to sunbathe, whatever. So they go see a movie. I want to say it was like the one about the whale watchers, not Blackfish. I forget it. When she's at this movie, a plane from the Santa Monica airport crashes into the sunbathing area and through only her apartment. Nothing is saved except some old journals and her Cheesecake Factory trainee pin.
I mean, that's some real Final Destination type.
It's pretty great, right?
Wow.
Right? Just a little story within a story here.
Yeah, that is very terrifying because that is something that is really nothing to do with, I mean, in theory has nothing to do with anything paranormal, just strange.
It's her plane crash story, but she wasn't in the crash, you know. Wow. Anyway.
No, that is.
That's like, but when you said that about Michelle, I was like, oh, interesting, strange, experiences happening.
And it's not a thing where it's, anything can happen anytime, like a car accident. I mean, these are like
specific circumstances.
Yeah, that are anomalies in a sense.
Yeah. And
it's not like there's a Northridge earthquake or a plane crashing into a house, every once a week.
Uh-huh. It's, and on the day you're supposed to be there and you leave.
Yeah. Now, do you go and appreciate life after that, or you just still complain about...
Well, you love that movie you saw. It's your favorite movie for all time. But yeah, I would say so, right?
Yeah.
Like, you were kind of saved in this strange
way. I wonder how long it takes to be also come back to being like,
why
is my movie optioned?
I know.
So he says, he's like, yeah, there's definitely a lot of Indian burial grounds, especially in the San Fernando area, which was like, much later developed. And so they used a geomagnetometer, probably saying that wrong.
No.
And what they do is they test the ground to see if there are like certain levels that are off. Like, again, it's a lot of things where it's like, it should be a 5. Oh no, here in closer to the house, it's a 7.
Yeah.
Those things really either mean more to people, well, the one they're doing the show, and to people that are
geologist who studies plate tectonics.
But with paranormal levels.
Yeah, it's a paranormal, it's like astronomy and astrology,
all put together. So it means it to me because, the show is obviously, it's edited. It's for, the primary goal is to entertain and inform, but I mean, so the way that it's edited is do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And they really ramp up things. And, I don't know if they are ramped up or it's just really good editing because it's got to be pretty terrifying, especially if you're somebody who, when your job is to seeking out these things, not because you're like, I don't think it's true, I'm just going to disprove it. When you're like, I've been there and done that, you have to probably have a heightened sense of reacting to things.
Yeah.
More than just being like me, I'm just scared to be in the dark with a bunch of infrared stuff going on. And so this part's very strange. They go with a spirit box.
Okay.
And again, I'm not an expert in this. It's a lot to follow. And it's a lot of technology and paranormal equipment that I have no knowledge of. It's interesting. I believe this little spirit box is something that captures audio that you can't hear, but it captures it on this thing.
The spirit box. That's a
like,
boring...
Not a it's not a...
Dybbuk box.
It's not a it's like a...
Dybbuk box is like a spirit is in the box.
Yeah, this is...
Gets that audio.
And I believe it's a spirit box. Unless I heard it wrong, I apologize.
It's a cool
I
name,
know
though.
The Dybbuk, they have a little gadget.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm really reducing it to some little doohickey.
Yeah, it's thingamajig. Thing, you know, you get it.
Ghost
put a quarter in a machine, you get one.
So they record it, and then when they play it back, you hear these, and you and it. You know, I don't know how this is where it comes from, but you hear things, like you hear strange.
Like
things, like one was, I think it was gonna suck it.
Oh hell yeah!
That was, and it's a very
that's a horny ghost.
Very strange things, like you know, like I'm in here, or like go, or you know, and it's very strange when they play it back. I don't know what the deal with that is. I'm just kind of along for the ride.
Yeah,
because I think there was a one of the original hosts, his name is Aaron, who's left the show in 2014. I just read some articles with him. I was like, oh, why'd you leave the show? I'm just trying to get, you know, and, you know, obviously he...
He's like, I'm done.
He, I guess, was at maybe at odds with the show or the producers. And he was like, you know, I was trying to get a little...
He didn't just want his life back?
I think what he said was when the show first started, like, things were so authentic. And as time goes on, and as producers got their hands in it and the Travel Channel. And listen, that happens with everything.
Yeah.
That's not news and that does not surprise me.
Also, the point of views of different people around a ghost hunting show are probably very at odds at different times. Yeah. Who's brought in your philosophy on this thing. Yeah. It's got to be more complicated.
And, you know, he said that things are amped up and faked and they would go back and have to redo things if it wasn't enough. I believe that could be an issue, not to take away from the things that may or may not be happening. But
sure.
It doesn't surprise me that a suit is like, hey, give us – I don't care how many gadgets you use. Isaac, we need this to be entertaining from minute one to minute 39 whatever it is.
Primarily entertainment.
But he mentioned that they would have crew members record – little voice, not their like little voice things. And of course the producers say that he's just bitter about what's going on.
Sure.
Either way, whatever is happening, whatever is done, it is very cool. And it's just hearing those little things.
That sounds
because
so
it
creepy.
Doesn't sound like, hey, what's up, dude? It kind of, it's like a very like, kind of like fast, and I don't know if it's
is it
augmented
like this?
Or
is it like this?
No, it's not even like that.
Is it like this?
No, it'd be like a second. Like that.
Oh, that's even scarier than anything I could imagine. That's like the JonBenet Ramsey. You know that CBS special where they like parsed some audio from the 911 call and it was like this thing and you're like, what is this? But it feels like that, like as quick and you're like, I play it back, play it again.
It's very interesting. And obviously everything's getting amped up towards the end because they're in there in the dark and there's cold, you know, they find like these cold spots and the host and crew, and they're having their own internal things. They're having trouble concentrating.
Yeah.
They're having difficulty setting up equipment. They've been working on something for a short time. And that resonated with me because when we did the Janis Joplin episode, that really described, like when I was watching it, that you know how I got in there.
Yeah, you were freaked.
I had a lot of trouble concentrating. I had a lot of trouble like being in my own skin. Remember, I behind closed doors, ripped off all my clothes and took a shower. I wasn't planning on doing
it. It was like 2 p.m.
It was like 2 p.m. and I was honestly like affected in whatever that was. And that part of this episode really resonated with me because I had like a lot of different – because, you know, you're dealing with equipment and maybe you plug something in a million times.
Yeah.
We've run, you know, this recorder or recorded this thing or whether it's putting down things or picking things up. It was just really hard for me to concentrate. And they had a lot of that kind of maddening to them.
Yeah.
And I don't know – again, I haven't seen any other episodes, so somebody might tell me that rarely happens. Somebody might tell me that always happens. I don't know. I think it was good that I came from a very unique perspective of me never even watching the show and consuming this episode.
Yeah.
So some of the spirit box voices are, I'm human.
No. I hope that's a crew guy.
Want a second?
Oh, want a second? I hope that's a human too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You don't know what they're thanking them for. It's like, thank you for giving us your soul.
Oh, no. My meager.
This one. Be careful.
Warning.
He's here.
That's the worst one. He's here. Who's he?
It is him.
Also, more info, please.
Wait a second. Come in here.
For money? For cash money prizes?
For lottery tickets.
Okay,
Or scratches.
Scratch-offs!
Yes.
That ghost got me.
Yeah. Then they use light anomalies. And again, these are a lot of things you're looking at. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know what this means to whatever.
Yeah.
Now, to cap this off, mm-hmm. there is a photo from one of the kind of infrared night vision.
Yeah, whatever. Like a still from the show.
They do not mention it on the show, mm-mm. but people who watch the show saw it. I don't know how, or again, I'm really trying to come to terms with this. You see the host, Zach, he's in a room and you see clearly a scary face behind him. I don't know if when the editors, they saw this, they were just like, whoa, we didn't see that. We'll just uh-huh. put it out there without like any kind of preface. Mm-hmm. Because in editing, you can literally have a voiceover and like, yeah, we saw this, you know, scary thing.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, viewers found it. And I don't know if that was, you know, intentional. I can only speculate, but it is very, very, very scary.
Yeah, it looks like
it's like an Easter egg, but like up again.
It's like there's a shelf and they're there, but and it looks like a jar, like a bucket on the shelf, but like half of the jar is a head, a human head. And that's really genius if they knew about it or doctor or whatever and just didn't mention it, because having those Easter eggs for fans is probably the best thing ever. But it is truly terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, they could have sitting there watching this, like, you know, I don't know, you know, their everyday mm-hmm. lives, they see strange stuff. They're like, whoa. It's like, should we go in and do a voice? Which, mm-hmm. you know, during editing, it's like, no, let's just leave it.
Yeah.
And let people discover it for themselves, mm-hmm. which is a lot more interesting than us always kind of spoon-feeding the information. Like, they're doing for me, they're spoon-feeding me
totally.
The information.
Oof, it's very scary.
So, the head, which they don't mention, turns to Zach and goes, want to suck it?
No!